Today's guest is Liberty Baldovino, and Liberty is also known as Youthful Granny, and she lives in the Philippines. She is my first Filipino podcast guest, and I can't be more excited to introduce you to her. She is somebody who loves writing, and she's a content marketer. She's built a business focusing on writing ebooks, white papers, case studies, blogs, emails, and she creates content strategies for various clients. And she is amazing, starting her own business later in life. And she started in her 40s and her early 40s because she was really desperate financially. And all of her paychecks went to debt collectors. And she talks about that. And she wanted something more for her kids. And often that's what we do. We make sacrifices that we wouldn't normally make for ourselves, and we do it for our children. And now she's a living example for her children. In fact, one of her children works for her. And I think it's an amazing story of determination, of just resilience, and doing something that is scary, but still doing it, asking questions, being curious, and making something. And I love it. Her whole perspective is that she's like so excited about the things that are to come. So she wakes up every day, instead of worrying about debt collectors, thinking and being excited about her future. And isn't that cool? It's a cool place to live from. So let's get to the interview now, and you can meet Liberty.
Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that your younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And I am excited to have this guest because she has a Not Your Average life and she's a perfect fit for the podcast. And I heard about her from a mutual friend who is in a business mentorship with me. And he said, I have the perfect person. And she goes by Youthful Granny. And I was like, oh, sounds very interesting. So we hooked up through email. And this is Liberty Baldovino. And Liberty lives in, and I would love to know, Liberty, how you got your name, because I'm sure it came from somewhere that there's a reason for it. But she lives in the Philippines. And so I also think it would be very fascinating for you to talk about your life in the Philippines, because Philippines is very different than living in America. Yeah. And a lot of, and a lot of listeners are from Canada as well that follow me. But yeah, so I have a VA from the Philippines, and he's been with me for a couple of years. I have had some other VAs before him, but he's my first one he's like a rock star. And from the get-go, I loved him from the time he answered the ad that I posted, and he's become like a member of the family. And so I just love him so much. And so I love the Filipino people, because the Filipino people are very, very loyal and hardworking. And yes, I love them so much. So welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, thanks, Laurie. Thank you very much for this opportunity, first of all. That's what I wanted to say. And to everyone, I'm Liberty Baldovino. I'm also called the Youthful Granny in the Philippines. I have a Facebook group specifically for people my age. It's called Freelancing for the Young Ones, where I teach them, I arm them with the necessary skills for online jobs. Okay, so.
And you're not afraid to say how old you are, right?
I'm not afraid to say I'm 56. In fact, I tell family and friends that I'm waiting to be 60, because here in the Philippines, if you have a senior card, you get 30% discount on meds, and I am a diabetic. I have maintenance, so that's a huge savings. Yeah. I'm going to get huge savings. Plus, here in the Philippines, senior citizens have free movie passes and a lot of other perks. So I can't wait to be 60.
That's 60. Yes, yeah, because here it's, you have to be, I think, 65 to get a lot of the perks.
Oh,
yeah.
Here you only have to be 60 to enjoy the
privileges. I need to look into it, though, because I know one of our grocery stores has a special day of the week where seniors get 10% off. And I think that I'm going to be 63 next month. So I think I might be qualified. I have to look into that.
No, you're 63. No.
Yes. Yes. almost 62.
Okay. That's nice. That's great. That's great to know.
So you must be a grandmother as well.
Yes, I have 5 grandkids.
Oh, that's awesome.
The eldest is 10 and the youngest is still a baby. She's 6 months old.
Oh, that's it's very close to what I have. 6. The oldest is 11 and the youngest is going to be a year next month. So yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So are you hoping for more? Or are you kind of like think this is it?
No, it depends on my kids. They're the ones who are making the babies, not me.
Yeah, my kids have been very vocal that this is it. So, yeah.
Okay. But babies are adorable, no?
Yeah,
they are.
The 11-year-old, I love her to death, but she's entering that age where it's not so adorable anymore.
Yeah.
You know, little like preteen, but yeah, she's
yeah.
But yeah, more worried about what her friends think. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got their own minds already.
Yeah.
They know what they want. They start to develop their preferences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So you in the Philippines, mm-hmm. it's not like in the US. Your internet can go down easily. You have typhoons, which are hurricanes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you didn't get the vaccines. My VA said that the vaccines were like a year later than when we started getting them and having them available here. So so a lot of things that we take for granted here in the United States are not something that you all don't have the advantage of. And so are there other things like, and I love the fact that there's this website that is, you can find people from the Philippines to help you. If you have a business, it's especially great for small business owners. Even somebody who, like, I think about people who are, because I started in network marketing. And so I had people part-time helping me in network marketing, you know, just with little tasks that, you know, I took too much time of my time. And so it's such a great, and the people from the Philippines have a masterful English. And most of people, and you guys do speak different languages, but you have a mastery of the English language, which I also think is amazing. So yeah, do you want to speak to that at all? What's life like in the Philippines?
Life in the Philippines, it has a wide range. They're very rich people, and there are very poor people. They are homeless. One thing I think that establishes the difference between the U.S. or other countries from the Philippines is the treatment of homeless people. In the U.S., the moms have what they call the food stamps, and they have shelters. Here, homeless people are homeless. So especially the old ones.
So there's no government subsidies or help?
No subsidies. There are subsidies, but because of the huge population, the government cannot handle everything. And I don't know, maybe a bit of corruption or...
Your government?
Yeah. I think it happens in almost all governments but basically
at some point,
a lot
I
of
think,
people.
Yeah. At some point when you put people in power who are in power for the wrong reasons. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people who want to be in power are the wrong kind of people. So our choices are limited.
True.
Over time.
I agree.
Yeah.
Unlike in the U.S., I am proud of the Filipino family. because we're closely knit families. In fact, two of our children, the husband and I have three children. The two of them are living with us. So that's why the grandkids are with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have tightly knit families, and then children are raised. Mm-hmm. Most children are still raised to say po and opo, which is very, cultural.
Mm-hmm. They're raised what? They're raised how?
It's saying po and opo. It's our way of being polite to elders.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So for example, if you ask your grandkid if she or he has eaten, the grandkid will say, "Hindi pa po." It means not yet. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it has a translation in English or any other language. That's what one thing I am very proud of. And I am very proud of raising my kids that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the way I was raised too.
You say it translates to not yet, but that doesn't seem like the most polite response. Yes. So I guess that's why you say there's not a good translation, but it's a respectful response, I guess.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's different. There's no translation for po and opo.
Mm-hmm.
Because in English it's yes or no.
Or maybe it's no, you know, the English would be the equivalent, maybe no ma'am, because ma'am is kind of a respectful way of saying something to somebody who's older. But yeah, so you tell me about how you got into, so you do help people with writing, which speaks to your mastery of the English language. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how did you, tell me about your past. How did you realize that there was this ability to get online and to create income and help other people and really have a different kind of life than you can have, because people in the Philippines don't get paid a lot in their normal jobs. Yeah.
That's very true. You see, don't we say that the mother of all innovation is necessity?
Mm.
True?
Yeah.
Yes. So, and I think the mother of all innovation is desperation.
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
But some people, I will say, there are degrees of people that will accept, you know, like I and you are probably very similar because we're both in this online world, but there's a degree that of desperation or necessity, you know, that we won't we won't get to that place where some people will just accept it. And they'll be like, okay, this is just what I'm meant to do in the world. And I wasn't meant to have a lot. I wasn't meant to be something. And they accept that. And clearly you made things happen. You recognize.
Yes.
And so I like that. I don't know do you know what it is about you that's different?
I guess one thing is, looking back, it's how we were raised as children, because we weren't, during our time, we weren't raised as most children are being raised now, who are being so entitled, and parents tend to give everything.
Yeah.
We were raised to work, for whatever we want in life. Correct?
Mm.
Yeah. Regardless of our geographical locations, I think it was how parents,
you mean just the age, you know, because we're similar in age. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I do think it was different. My mother did say you need to have a job that makes money. Mm-hmm. I mean, she did put the money thing in my head, which kind of sent me down the wrong path, but yeah, we were not, I worked from as soon as I could drive my car. I actually worked before I could drive my car because I had a job that I could ride my horse to. And that's what I did.
Work here in the Philippines as children means household chores. You need to help around the house.
We had that. I had to make my bed every morning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we took turns washing the dishes. That's without pay.
Yes. We didn't get, an allowance.
No pay for doing the household chores. It's your duty. It's your obligation. And
if you want dinner, you better do your chores.
And then also, I think it's because we were not raised to give up easily.
Yeah.
we were raised to have, I think the word great before didn't exist in our dictionary way back then.
The word what? Then,
grit, G-R-I-T. Grit.
Grit?
Is the term grit. Uh-huh. G-R-I-T.
Oh, grit. Yes, grit. Yes, yes. Yeah.
It wasn't in our dictionary before. Now, we were raised that way to have grit.
Yeah, there was a really good movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. True Grit. It was called True Grit. And I loved cowboy and Indian movies. And it was I'm pretty sure John Wayne was in the original one. They did a remake a few years ago that was really good too. But it's a really good movie, True Grit. And it's about a girl and a guy that takes a girl who's really tough under his wings. But yeah, mm-hmm. So that reminded me of it. Maybe some of the listeners will remember that movie.
Yeah.
The remake was really good too. The remake was really good. And I remember it was so sad because the horse died in it. It was like I love animals.
Yeah.
Horses. But anyways. Yeah. So you were out of necessity, out of desperation. What were you doing before you transitioned into the online world and doing what you do? I ask in the application to be a guest, you said your transformation, kind of like the pivot that was really transformative, happened at 42 and you're 56 now. So what happened 14 years ago?
Okay. So I used to be a private school teacher. Not actually a teacher in the sense of being a teacher, but I was more of a piano and music instructress. And then I also, in later part, because I stayed in the same school for 17 years, in the later part, I think my school started to join journalism contests. Mm. And as a child, I've always loved writing. In fact, my dream was to be a novelist, which still needs to materialize in the future.
Yes, I love having those
who knows?
Goals and dreams. Yes.
Yeah, so there. So once I think I saw the, we call it school paper advisor, doing the school paper, and I had my opinions.
So the school paper advisor was kind of like a position at the school. Is that what it was?
But it's only a temporary position. Okay. Usually the school paper advisor services is utilized during press conferences, school press conferences. Mm. And then, you know, at 41, I still didn't know how to use the computer, Lori.
Oh.
It was only at 42 when I learned how to use one.
Oh.
And that was only because the piano room, which was my room way back then, it was a huge room. So it was where the office, the owner of the school placed the computer for the office. So my office, my piano room, became the piano room cum office of the clerk. So there was a teacher Erica, and you know, when you don't know something and you see someone who does that something that you don't know yet, they look so smart to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you look so smart. And I think you're doing something so smart. I don't even know how to use that computer. Because I was afraid. Because way back then, another 10 years ago, the computers available in the country then were the ones where you needed to use the floppy disk.
Yes.
And you had DOS system.
Yes, yes.
And when you press the wrong button and you press the wrong command, poof, goes your program. Which was very, very expensive way back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was afraid to touch a computer in my room there. And then my co-teacher said, don't worry, teacher, as long as you know how to open and as long as you know how to save files and close, put off the computer properly, you have no problem. Yes. And to that, I thank Microsoft Windows. I am not an affiliate, mind you.
Yeah. But then, well, I love that you were afraid, but you still asked the question and you still, you know, when you find somebody that you're intrigued with what they're doing and you approach them, and a lot of people just stop at like, just the thought of being intrigued and not asking for help or going one step further. And I love that you did that.
Yeah, because I really wanted to. It has been, and I'm kind of stubborn. When I want to do something and I cannot do it, I will do my best to learn that. I will not stop.
Yeah.
So I really, everything I learned during those times, all self-study. I learned Microsoft Office Word. I learned how to navigate Google and other applications all by myself.
Love that.
So yeah, I learned how to use WordPress. Yeah,
so this was kind of like side learning while you're still doing your
It was side learning. Yes.
Yeah.
And then.
So did the ideas start to percolate? Because I think once you get exposed to something and it's, you're like intrigued by it, then it starts to generate thoughts of what this could be. Yeah.
So I started to, since I already knew how to use the computer, and then my school had recognized that I had a penchant for writing, I became the school paper advisor, and I was sent to different seminars and workshops for writing, for journalism. So off I went. And then
you manifested that dream from a young child. Even
I
though
did.
It wasn't writing novels, but it
True.
Was you down that path in a way. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. I am still leaving the door open for that novel.
Yeah. You got to learn how to write before you can write a novel, right? So this is just step A.
Yes, step A. And then, but then that time, the kids were already growing up. Two of our kids were in high school and one was in college. And with three growing kids who ate like tractors.
You must have boys.
Two boys and two girls.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you were a young mom, it sounds like. I was a young mom too. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and with a meager income. Even with a combination of my income and the husband's income, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. We were buried in debt. So paydays wasn't my payday. It was payday for the loan sharks and the people we owed money to. Yeah, you know, when here in the Philippines you call that may pangalan na. Your pay already has names on it.
Yeah. That's tough. I mean, and it must be frustrating, you know,
work hard.
And then, and feel like you can't like get, you can't get your head above water.
It was very frustrating. And especially when the kids were asking for basic necessities that we cannot afford.
Yeah.
And when they had school activities that they cannot attend simply because we did not have the funds to pay for their transportation for the field trips or money to buy costumes for the school activities. And it hurt.
Yeah.
And as a mom, I know, you know, you will do what you can so that you can give that something to kids so that they won't be asking anymore.
Yeah.
They won't be frustrated anymore. So I did some research, and luckily I asked around. It was great, Lori. I asked around. I asked my friends. I even asked my friends who were living in the United States if their offices were hiring clerks online. And no, they didn't. I asked friends until I asked my sister-in-law if she knew someone, and she said, one of my classmates is selling an English proficiency course here in the Philippines. So I applied, and then the owner of the English proficiency course said, while you're not doing something, create a profile on Odesk, which is Upwork now. So it
Upwork.
Was Odesk.
Okay. Before. Yeah. The Upwork is just for people to know, it's a online kind of job finding platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did.
For freelancers mostly. Yeah.
Yeah, I created my profile, and then I used to, the first rate that I asked was $11, and I was still working then, $11, and nobody hired me. Nobody hired me. My profile sat for 6 months, and then I checked profiles from other writers, and it said $1 per hour, $1 per article. And I wanted to earn the stars because Upwork back then work if
like
you,
referrals and if you like, yes. Like Amazon, right? Five stars.
Yes, reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there. So I needed the reviews and the stars. So yes, I did. I did go for $1 per hour. And then I guess it's the universe has been kind to me. That I had clients who, upon knowing that I was asking for very low rates, and I think they were satisfied. They were more than satisfied with the work that I provided them. And they were the ones who raised my pay.
Yeah. Yeah. I did that with, you know, my VA. I've given them a couple of raises because, yeah, it's, you know, you want to keep them and you want them to be happy. And yeah, when they do good work, then they should be rewarded. That's how I feel. Yeah.
Yeah. And then so I said, oh, so I can charge $4 per hour. Why don't I try $5 per hour? And then when I was hired, why don't I try $7 per hour or $10 per hour? Oh, somebody was hiring me because the positive feedback on my profile.
Yes. Once you have testimonials, it makes a big difference.
Yes. Yeah. So there.
Yeah.
And then, so that's my journey into freelancing.
Yeah.
And then when I was already gaining some success, I knew of friends who didn't have jobs, classmates who didn't have jobs. Here in the Philippines, because here in the Philippines, if you talk about age discrimination, it's very, what do you call this? It's very prevalent here. Classified ads tell you that there's age Matter. Limit of 35 years old to apply to certain jobs.
So if you like kind of stir the pot and say, you know, age discrimination, does that mean people kind of shutter you in terms of like, so you're not speaking and or do they like, oh, I don't want to be known for age discrimination, and they actually will hire you? They won't hire you. Okay.
They won't hire you. It's very seldom that they do. And sometimes it happens that in promotions, they promote the young ones while the older ones. Yeah, it happens. I've got friends who were treated that way and not good, right?
Yeah. So, well, thank goodness for, you know, onlinejobs.ph.
Yes, exactly.
That's the platform where you can find amazing people.
Yeah.
And you don't have to put your age on there, you know?
Yeah. Yes, as long as you can do the job,
go ahead.
Yeah, age doesn't matter.
Yeah. So you started, the pivot was caused because you were paying, you when you had payday, you didn't have any money left for anything.
Yes. And the kids were asking.
Kids kept getting into more debt. So that definitely drives it. How fast, once you made the decision that you were going to make a change and you were going to go after something, you know, you said you posted on Upwork and at first nobody, you know, and then you dropped your rates. And so how long till you started seeing kind of an upswing and started to pay off some of that debt and feel better about your life?
Oh, Lori, in fact, the first job, the first pay that I had in Upwork, because I was still teaching that time. So I had, because I was afraid. I was afraid that if I resign, I will not have enough to support the family.
Yeah, you don't want to burn the boats yet.
Yes.
They say.
So so I got my first pay of $50. I was so happy. Oh my God.
For a teacher, I bet.
Yeah. So for a teacher who's earning 10,000 pesos a month.
Yeah. And what does that equate to? It's like crazy how like
it's only $200
a month. Yes.
Yes.
So $200 a month times that times 12.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how little I was earning? And then I got $50, which was a quarter
Yeah.
Almost a quarter of what I was getting.
And $50, was that for 50 hours? Because you started.
No,
you started
$1. I wrote an ebook.
You wrote an ebook. Oh,
yes.
And how
a
much
50
time?
Page, so, a 50 yeah. page ebook.
Okay. Okay. So dollar page. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
that
didn't take you a month, I presume. It didn't take you a month.
No,
so.
It took me 2 months because I remember that I was still working back then.
Okay. So it took you 2 months, but you still, you know, that's like definitely adds to your, you know, bottom line. So
once I got the money, you know, I took my youngest child to the grocery and I allowed her to get what she wanted.
Oh, that's so nice. Love that. Because spending spree.
Yeah, spending spree. Okay. So
yeah.
That right. was
she
the
was
first
mommy,
time.
I want more of this. And so there you go. Back to work to do some more stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I started to feel when I was already getting clients from Upwork, stable clients. I got long-term contracts in Upwork. That's when I started to feel the change.
Mm.
Now today we have our own car. And we were building our own house.
That's amazing.
And yes. And then, of course, we can now afford. The kids don't have, although the kids don't ask from us anymore because they already have their own families. But it's the grandkids who ask us and yeah. don't have to decline.
Yeah. So tell me how what you've done has influenced your kids. Like what has you showing up? Doing the things that you needed to do, learning, being persistent, figuring it out. Like, how has that transferred to your children? Do they see possibilities for themselves that they didn't see before?
I convinced them.
Mm, yeah.
I
that's
really
the other reason.
Them,
that's the other power yes. of what you've done.
Yes. Yeah. I show them the huge difference. My eldest son mm-hmm. used to work for a call center station, for yeah. a call center, BPO. So he
yeah,
worked
we had,
there.
I worked at AOL and we had a huge chat
yes.
service that was run out of the Philippines.
The yeah. problem was he was living 50 kilometers away, usually 50 kilometers away from the call center.
Oh my.
Because house rentals are so expensive here.
Mm.
So they lived in the outlying areas of the city. And he mm-hmm. has to travel every single day.
I assume public transportation.
Yes, public transportation.
Oh, yeah.
And I really took pity on him because he. And it also didn't work when I offered him to stay here because our place is nearer to the call center. It didn't work because he was always lonely. At times he mm-hmm. was crying because he was apart from his family.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So what
so
is
I
he doing now?
Him.
He you convinced him to.
Oh, he's my. If you have your virtual assistant, I uh-huh. have my very own virtual assistant who is my son.
That's awesome.
Now he's my assistant, and he helps me manage my courses.
My son-in-law is like my right-hand guy. Yeah, so I can relate to that.
Nice.
You know, there's somebody in the family who's good and smart and can do like these
yes.
things. It's like
and and he's you know. I'm still sometimes challenged with tech.
Mm-hmm.
So he's my tech assistant.
Yeah. It's always good. Kids, you know, I struggle with something. I was trying to learn
yes.
reels on Instagram and I'm
yes.
like, I can't figure this out. So like my daughter will send me a little video and I'm like, okay, I got it.
Okay.
I mean, I can Google it, but then, you know, there's like little intricacies that, you know, sometimes
yes.
it's until you use it. And I have practice with it. You don't know. It's like those little bells and whistles and makes life a lot easier. So now I feel like I'm a little bit of a reels wizard now for my age.
And yeah. I guess as we age, we grow a little impatient with the mundane stuff.
Yeah.
That's why we want everything faster.
Mm-hmm. You think when we get older, we want things. We have less patience. I have more patience with my grandkids. Maybe.
Oh, of course,
yeah,
with
yeah. less with but myself.
But with mundane things, especially the ones related to work, where you have to work as efficiently as you can, then that's when I call my son.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's exciting. Stuff, so, does he like what he's doing? Is he fulfilled in what he's doing, you think?
Yes, he loves the course. He's my assistant. He does everything. And of course, he can still have side jobs. He still has part-time jobs from other clients. He has his own clients.
That's awesome. Yeah, yes. He sees what you've done and he's going to run with that, I think, and make.
Yeah.
So one of the questions that I think is a good one for you is, what are your plans for the future?
My
especially at this time of year, right? When we're thinking about what we are envisioning and what our desires are. And,
yeah. I am a planner aficionado, and I attend masterminds for, you know, whatever, planning, goal planning. I have my coaches. I have my mentors.
Yeah.
This is who I want to become. You see that? Arianna Huffington.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. She bought AOL. So Huffington Post now.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. I don't know. I don't keep track anymore, but yeah.
Yes. And I have, so my plans are all written here. I have a vision board here. So my plans in the future are, of course, the first thing is for my family to be rich and happy. That's the first thing, because at the end of the day, it will always be them.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And yes, I do a value exercise with my students, and it was one I did at a mastermind event that I, you know, it impacted me a lot, and it was a fun exercise. And so I put it in my program, and it's you know, you have to figure out what your values are, and there's a way to do it. And you end up with one, and it's so fascinating, and people are always surprised through that exercise, but family is a lot of them. Yeah.
Yes. It's always family. Yeah. And then plans for the future is, I want to, you know, I mentioned my freelancing group for the young ones. So currently, we do hold webinars weekly. I invite Filipino friends to guest, and they teach different skills. From SEO, we have monthly themes, SEO, 1 month SEO, 1 month copywriting, 1 month whatever.
Yeah. But when you say it's a Facebook group for young ones, so what is the definition of young ones? Because is it, you
young
know,
ones,
anyone
the
under
ones
your age?
Is ones, O-N-C-E.
Oh.
The young people of yesteryears.
Oh, young ones. you're only young once. Oh,
yes,
okay.
You're only
okay. Got it. I am so sorry. I got that. Young ones. I thought you said young ones. Okay. That
so it's made up of people 40 years old and above.
Okay. Okay.
I have members who are 70 plus.
That's awesome.
And I have young, and I also have young members whose hopes are for their parents to be encouraged by me.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I hope you share your story a lot, because it is powerful. And what's possible, you know?
I've been interviewed several times over here in the Philippines. I really hope. I try to help as much as I can. Mm-hmm. So because as I went along the group, I realized that one of the problems why they cannot work online is the technology challenge.
Yeah.
So what I want to do, my plan for the future for that group is to provide them with free trainings of the very basic things they have to learn.
Yeah. Yeah, I think once you get over your fear of not knowing something and you prove to yourself it's possible to learn it. But it's funny, because even new stuff, like my example with Reels, I was so resistant to doing Reels. And it wasn't until I heard that your content is just not going to be served if you're not using Reels on Instagram.
Yes.
And so I'm like, okay, I have to learn it. And it was just a matter of doing it for a week and really sinking myself into it. And, you know, at first it's slow and takes more time. But then once you get it, it's like, oh, why did I resist this for so long? Why do I resist this for so long? And yeah, so I think it's like pulling that Band-Aid off and getting kind of that one thing done and proving to yourself it's possible and you can learn anything. So,
yes,
all right. So let's wrap up and let me know what well, I think we've heard, but your story, but I would love for you to just end this with sharing what living a not your average life means to you. And I loved your answer. Do you remember what you put?
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, actually this answer, one of my group members helped me answer this.
Mm.
Because for me, you know, when you're living, I'm just living my life as I want to. So I want an answer that comes from the eyes of the people I am, the people with me.
Mm.
So this,
so how do they view you as not average?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the answer. To me, living a not your average life means this came for me. Not your average life means waking up each day filled with excitement. No, filled with excitement about the things that are to come. I am so excited.
Yes, I love
that. There
are
so many possibilities.
I underlined it. I was like, yes, that's what we all want, to wake up filled with excitement.
Yes, yes, because we kind of, some of us have kind of lost that excitement, that spring to our feet.
Because we're not doing what we love. Yeah.
Yes, but when you do what you love, because I remember, becoming a writer was one of my dreams, must my dream.
Yeah.
Of course, pessimism does set in, but I try my best to conquer it by focusing on the people I love.
Yeah. I love too. You say, I may be 56, but I still have that spring in my step, ready for whatever and whenever. That is so cool. And don't you want that? Like when you think about your grandkids, you know, remembering, you know, your youthful granny, remembering youthful granny. That's how great for them to remember you.
Yes.
Like somebody who has that energy and that excitement. Yeah. So thank you so much for being here. I loved getting to know you. I love your story. Yes. You're a very unique guest. I haven't had somebody like you, and you're doing great things in the world. And yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Lori.
Let's keep in touch.
Bye. Yes, let's. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average life.